Fake handoff. He'll throw it on second down. Deep down the middle. Wide open man. Akeem Butler. Over the shoulder catch. It's going to be a Cyclone touchdown.
Has a little moxie about him, doesn't it?
He absolutely does. You saw how fired up his sideline was. And they're going to be elated for this. Purdy to the end zone.
Because, yeah, good's good. But what's elite in the elite moments? Don't tell me what you've done. Go back into the critical moments and tell me what you should have done when you had the opportunity to do it. That's what elite is. That's what warriors do. That's what champions do.
Welcome to the Whitecast.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Wide Right Natty Lightcast, and a Merry Bowlmas to you and yours. It is officially bowl season. We haven't gotten together in a couple of weeks, and Iowa State has a bowl opponent that we haven't really talked about yet, so we got a lot to get to tonight. On this episode, I am Austin Keeney. I'm hosting, as always. I'm joined by Matt Nelson. And Matt, how we doing? How many bowls have you watched so far this bowl season? How was your opening weekend? I know, and I don't want to talk about the Vikings at all. I just want to talk about bowls for right now.
You know, I really appreciate that, Clark, of not forcing me to talk about the Vikings, because
if you don't talk about the Vikings, I don't have to talk about the Bears.
You know what? That seems like a fair trade to me. I think I'm good with that trade. Man, opening weekend. I love all these bowls, even the really dumb ones that sound totally made up. I don't really care. I'm in on all of them. They're the best.
We kind of talked about it. We talked about it. Like, we're recording on the day of the famous Toastery Bowl, which will go down in infamy, I'm sure, for anybody that bet on Old Dominion. Did you get a chance to catch any of that?
Okay, so I missed it. But in my bowl pool, I had Western Kentucky. So I'm like mad the entire like first half, because I had a rough start with my picks in some of the you know, I do some confidence and kind of a normal one with Aaron's family, and it didn't go very well. So that was a much needed victory for me to get back in the win column here. With Western Kentucky. So they were down 28. Is that correct?
It was 28-0. I took the over in the game. So I was trying to keep an eye on it every once in a while. And like every time I looked, Old Dominion had 7 more points on the board. It was 28-0. And then I don't even know what happened in the second half. I was coming home from work. I could not keep up with the game anymore. And then I saw it was in overtime, tied at 35. So just, I mean, that's why we do it. And that's why I want to commend you on being in a bowl pool. I didn't even try. I cannot tell you who's going to be playing in these games. I don't feel confident putting a lot of money on really any of it. It's a complete crapshoot this year.
You didn't even attempt?
No. I'll watch. I mean, I'm not going to not watch. And let's be honest, I'm not going to not gamble on the games. But I didn't do a pool. I didn't do confidence. You know, any game that's not a playoff game. And I guess Iowa State Memphis kind of has most of the big players playing, although we don't know about TJ Tampa yet, but like,
right.
Ohio State's got like 15 guys in the portal. They don't have their starting quarterback. Marvin Harrison's almost definitely not going to play the game. Like, who knows, you know, even the really good teams are just completely decimated by the portal and opt-outs now,
which is really kind of unfortunate. Is that the larger theme, right, of bowl season that we need to talk about? Is kind of what's happened to these games over time? My beautiful bowl games, Keeney, they've taken them from us. No, I think people have realized that. Look, very few people actually care about these games, so we started to see more and more players kind of, you know, take care of themselves, so to speak. Do I love that? No, but it's understandable.
Well, I saw. Chris Williams and Chris Hassel were kind of talking about this. You know, how do you try and make the Bulls mean something again? I wanted to float an idea by you. Let me know what you think. What if instead of like the Bull swag package for both teams, what if every player on the winning team got like $10,000 and the losing team got nothing? Do you think that would curb opt-outs?
It probably would, right? Like, do the opting out players still get the stuff? Do we know? Can we confirm?
I'm sure they do because they're on the team. They might travel or whatnot. But like, if you did, I think kind of like the NBA does the All-Star game, or like the NFL does the Pro Bowl, where there's financial incentive for the winning team and the winning team only. I wonder if that would convince guys to maybe stick around instead of, you know. I guess they're going to go in the portal anyway, but maybe they play in the bowl game before entering the portal, you know?
Right.
Try and get a little extra cash in your pocket, help out your guys, and then go on your way.
I'd be fine with that. Keeney, I wish we lived in a world where more people cared about the famous toastery bowl, but I guess, you know, beggars can't be choosers, as the saying goes.
Yeah, look, you're gonna get burned on that deal.
Correct. No, I mean, I understand why they used to mean more. I do think for a team like Iowa State playing in this game, it does seem almost like a little bit more of an old school bowl game, which is great. How do you not love that? Should we talk about? But before we do that, Keen, let's kind of recap a few of the bowl games. We can talk hoops at some point also. Keeney, I have been tuned into these bowl games like you wouldn't believe. You know, not a shocking thing. I know that's quite frankly just what you expect from me. You've known me long enough. I am so happy with Texas Tech. What a performance. Keeney, can you guess the name of that bowl game? It was the...
Oh, that was the one in Shreveport.
Yes, Iowa State.
Iowa State was floated as a possibility for that one.
Could have been. That was the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. No idea what that means.
I was going to say, that sounds like a military contractor.
Correct. UCLA Boise State played in the Starco Brands LA Bowl, essentially the Who Cares Bowl. UCLA has had a gazillion opt-outs, and I mean, they're not going to fire Chip Kelly, but that's what everyone was saying. And Boise State had a gazillion transfers, and I believe lost their head coach. So that one was just a beautiful mess. The Avocados from Mexico Bowl, can you look like it was being played in a rainforest? Because it was literally torrentially downpouring during the entirety of that game, which I thought was actually fantastic. That was a really cool vibe. I always love a tsunami game, which that one was. The RL Carries Bowl was sweet. You had Rich Rod and Jacksonville State hold on to a win. And then Keeney, and maybe like the funniest one of them all to date, the Myrtle Beach Bowl. I'm pretty sure before the game featured Georgia Southern players like clearly on IG Live in a casino at like 3 a.m. and no surprise, they played horribly in that game. So really just amazing. Just brilliant.
Are we sure it wasn't the power of the mighty Ohio Bobcats? We know what they can do to a team.
Ugh. I shouldn't have gone there.
Yeah.
That's a great point by you.
Should we talk of Liberty Bowl?
Yeah, but before we get there, let's kind of run through. I wanted to run through a few bowls before we get there. UTSA should beat Marshall. Keeney, the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl is amazing. It's Alex Golesh in 6-6 South Florida against whoever the hell is coaching Syracuse now, who's also 6-6. That game shapes to be absolutely sick. That's Thursday night, on my birthday, actually. Georgia Tech UCF, that actually promises to be good fun. We need a UCF win there for the Big 12. It's always nice when we do well in bowls. And then Saturday we slide into kind of a big slate of bowl games with Keeney. The best part is they're all awful. I mean, I don't know what the highlight is. Is it Utah Northwestern in the SRS distribution Las Vegas Bowl?
You got to put some respect on the winged wagon, our team, Air Force, playing James Madison.
That's actually a great point. That actually could be probably the best, one of the best games of the day in the Armed Forces Bowl. That should be fun. Troy's really good. I mean, it's crazy, Keeney. They're favored by over a touchdown against Duke. That's how good some of those Sun Belt teams are. But really, don't have much else important you may want to watch until the day after Christmas. So Kansas is in action that day. And then on the 27th, if you're going down to Memphis, we've got several Big 12 teams in action. And that's where the fun really starts. So I guess, like I said, Keeney, I can't wait. I always love bowl season. I love all of these seemingly dumb and insignificant games. They're all awesome, in my opinion. So I can't wait to bask in it. Should we hit Liberty Bowl?
We should. And I can tell you why bowl season's lost some luster. It's because of the NFL. The NFL's taken over everything. So Thursday games, Saturday games, yeah. Sunday games, and a Monday game every single week now.
Yeah, and like it seems like nobody's good right now. So that kind of changes things too. Teams are good. Like that's kind of disingenuous of me to say, but like, look at some of the quarterback crap we're watching right now across the league. Like it's kind of crazy. Anyway, just my two cents.
All right, Liberty Bowl, Matt, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you more excited about playing we'll call Memphis a well-respected G5 program that is going to have most of their roster intact, or would you have rather played another P5 school, maybe not as good of a football team, but maybe a little bit better of a reputation and maybe a roster that's a little bit more decimated? Like, where do you think this spot is for Iowa State? Because kind of feels like a lose-lose, even though Memphis is 9-3 and they're literally playing in their home stadium. It still feels like Iowa State, you know, if you lose this game, you're like, oh, you lost to a G5 school in your bowl game. Good for you. And if we win, it's like, oh, well, you should beat Memphis every single time you play them.
Yeah, it kind of stinks, Keeney, because they are a good team, right? They're 9-3. The Americans, obviously not what it once was. They've lost a bunch of players from that league. But they're still pretty good. And that'll be a tough game. Like there's no question about it. I still think they should win. Hennigan is a good quarterback. Memphis is very similar to what, you know, what we've seen from them in years past, no doubt. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. To me, it seems like a game that Iowa State can win, though. Correct?
They're pretty heavy favorites to win the game. I think the analytics like us a lot more than they like Memphis. You're right about Hennigan. He's a good quarterback. I kind of look at Memphis and I think, well, if you watch the 2017 Liberty Bowl, you watch that Memphis team. This Memphis team is pretty much the exact same. They have different personnel. They have a different coach, but the philosophy is the same. They still try and throw the ball around. They score a lot of points. They give up a whole lot of points. There's a really good opportunity for Iowa State if the offense is going to continue to be what they showed towards the end of the season, and especially in Big 12 play. There's going to be a real opportunity for Iowa State to put points on the board here, get everybody feeling good heading into the offseason. You know, Jalen Knoll's going to play. Jaden Higgins is going to play. Rocco Becht is going to play. Abu Sama is going to play. So this is a really fun chance to maybe, well, I don't know if measuring stick is the right term, but let's just say if Iowa State plays really well in the bowl game and beats Memphis pretty handily, the hype train for 2024 is just going to be completely off the rails.
It will be. And I think this is really fun for Iowa State with the amount of, you know, obviously the amount of young players they have on their roster. With all of the talent that you're bringing back, and you know, a bowl game is obviously great experience for a young team like Iowa State. So there's more than enough to be excited about. And I think the game is one of them, Kenny. It should be fascinating. So let me take you through Memphis' season. So beat Bethune-Cookman and Arkansas State pretty handily. Squeaked one out at home against Navy, a team that they should definitely be better than. Lost close on the road to Mizzou by a score. Beat an okay, but pretty good Boise squad at home. Lost to Tulane at home by 10. Rattled off 4 wins in a row against UAB, North Texas, USF, and Charlotte. Lost close to SMU at home and beat Temple. So, Kenny, kind of the common thread there is, you know, to of their wins, Boise's in a bowl, USF squeaked to 6-6, and those are their two best wins. Some close losses for sure. They're definitely a good team with a really good offense. But can you looking at some of their point totals given up against good competition? 34, 32, 31, 42, 50, 38, 38, 21 against Temple. So they have been giving up a lot of points. And Hennigan's turned the ball over a little bit. He's got 9 picks on the season. But I just think it's kind of exactly like it was. You said it, Kenny, the last time we played them, which is really good offense and really bad defense. Iowa State currently sits, I think, as a 6.5-point favorite. And looking through, kind of you look at the picks and prognostications, almost their entire roster is back, but they've lost 2 starting offensive linemen to the portal, who are both going to transfer up. And I think that's going to be tough for them. I think everyone for Iowa State should probably play. I don't know if TJ Tampa will. I don't think anybody knows that at this point. But anyway, that's kind of my read on it. I think it probably is high scoring. I'd probably bet the over if I was betting. They pass a lot, so Iowa State will need to be good in the secondary, especially if Tampa doesn't play. But I think, Keeney, they're going to be able to run the ball. I think that's going to be their plan. I think teams have been able to run the ball on Memphis pretty well all year. They have not been good at stopping it. It wouldn't surprise me to see a Kansas State-like game. I don't think there'll be maybe that many points, but that's kind of how I see it.
I want to hang on that rush defense point real quick, because that's probably the number one thing that stands out to me. They give up 170 yards a game on the ground. Now, they did play Navy, who pretty much exclusively runs the ball, so maybe we should check real quick and see if that's just like a total outlier. Navy ran for 300, but you know, over the course of a whole season. So 170 yards a game they give up on the ground. They give up 29 points a game. I do think it's going to be a high scoring game. So
yeah, they average almost 40 a game.
Guys to know, I mean, Seth Hennigan, we kind of talked about him, 3,500 yards, good quarterback, good G5 quarterback. I would say maybe in the top half of what Iowa State has seen this year. This guy is a fun guy. Their best wide receiver, who I believe is still sticking around, is named Rock Taylor. 1,000 receiving yards this year, 16 yards a catch. He's a big play threat. Joe Skates is on Memphis, actually, a name that everybody should be familiar with. Kind of tipped us off that we were going to be playing Memphis in the bowl game. He had 400 yards and 5 touchdowns this year. So, that's what I'm looking for. Lots of passing, and Iowa State secondary, that's going to be the key to the game. And I don't think there's going to be, 7 inches of snow on the field at the Liberty Bowl, even though the weather there has been awful the last 2 times that we've gone on the day of the game.
It has been awful.
No guarantees there, but I think our D-backs are going to have a much better opportunity to have better footing going against this Memphis passing attack. So I think in general, good matchup for Iowa State, good opportunity here. This is gravy on top of a really good season, although I'd love to have 8 wins instead of 7, to be completely honest with you.
I think I agree. 8 wins, an 8-5 season coming off of last year just sounds like holy crap, right? Obviously, the development's huge. The extra practices, you know, getting to play another game, King, it's why we're actually going to be in Memphis. We will be going down with my wife, our kids, and my wife's family to watch this team. I mean, we have nothing better to do over break, but bowl games are fun. They're fun when they're close. I know we've been several times, but we still wanted to go anyway. I mean, man, talking about easy, we're going to leave early the morning of the 28th, get there in time for the parade in the afternoon, be able to, you know, hang out for half a day, all day the bowl game, and then come home and be home by, you know, 5-6 o'clock on the 30th. Pretty tough to beat. It's a pretty quick trip. It's an easy drive. So as I think about the game, Keeney, it's always nice to get the prognosticators and podcasts I listen to would call what Memphis is a half team, right? They're very good at one thing and not good at the other. That is kind of your prototypical half team behavior. So they can be dangerous, but in terms of, you know, playing in a bowl game, I think what you'd rather not face is a team that's like 80th in each, right? Like they're pretty good at defense, pretty good at offense. If they don't make many mistakes, those teams are hard to beat. Those are ones that Iowa State tends to struggle with.
Well, we're not playing Clemson, who had just an unbelievable defense,
right,
in the Cheez-It Bowl. We're not playing Notre Dame, who's going to physically dominate us on the line of scrimmage. So it's a fun one. I want to commend you on going, Matt, because you're the first person I know that is going to the game. It was the first sign of the fact that I'm getting old. I didn't know until we talked tonight. I did not know anybody that was going down to the game. None of my friend group even approached the idea of doing a bowl trip. So different stage of life. Are you taking the kids?
Kids are coming.
Okay. Interesting. I hope for good weather for once when we play in that stadium.
It looks like it should be okay, which is relieving. So I've been down to 2 games there and the weather has not been nice. Well, either time.
Really. Yeah, I was at both of those. It was pretty disgusting. Any plans to take the kids to Beale Street?
For the parade. Yep. Okay. And maybe the wife and I will be able to get out and have a drink somewhere, but hoping to maybe like go find a brewery before the game and be able to find a maybe a more chill spot to hang out. How's that sound?
That'll work.
Good deal.
Yep. We're all getting old. Although, you know, bowl trips are fun. So
they are fun.
I'm sure it'll be a good time.
Not guaranteed many. So our thinking was, you know what? Maybe we should go.
Well, we're going to be in the Big 12, the future Big 12. We're not going to be like the 11th best team in the Big 10 with 18 teams in it. So I'm not going to say bowl trips are guaranteed by any means, but we'll have, I think, at least I'd say maybe better than a 50-50 chance of going bowling in pretty much any season going forward.
Oh, I don't disagree. Nope, I agree. What else we need to have on football? Anything else? We're clearly very excited for bowl season and all that it means for this young team. Did we miss anything in our coverage?
I don't think so. I got to tell, I feel like the anticipation for this game is just like rock bottom. There's not been a whole lot of anything to really get excited about or really pay a lot of attention to. And it's kind of what you get for playing in the Liberty Bowl for the third time in the last decade. And for the second time against Memphis, you know, if we were playing a new opponent, there were some really fun possibilities in there when it looked like we might play like a Wisconsin, or if Nebraska could have got bowl eligible, that would have been a lot of fun. Memphis is just kind of an opponent I have a tough time getting excited about.
Is that simply just because we've played them so many times?
Yeah, it's fatigue, you know. It's like, I've seen this exact stadium against this exact team. Even if we're playing the Liberty Bowl against, like, I don't know, it's usually what, like an SEC tie-in. So if we could have got like a Kentucky, some kind of like low-tier SEC team, that would have been a little more fun. I've seen this game before. So
yeah, so they said they couldn't fulfill their bowl allotment. Are there how does that happen? Are there just no? I didn't think the SEC was that bad this year.
Well, I'll tell you what. Liberty Bowl 2024, Iowa State versus 6-6 Texas out of the SEC. How's that sound? I have higher hopes for us than that.
Sounds great. I mean, Kenny, I will say this. It is fun that these teams care about this bowl game, right? That it, I think Chris Williams said in his podcast earlier, and I think he's right. It is kind of an old school bowl game. You've got two teams that are going to have pretty much everybody available and want to play. And I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, that I agree. And I want to know when you get back, like, what was the crowd like? Because that's Iowa State fans travel well, but they've been to Memphis a couple times already. I don't feel like Memphis fills the Liberty Bowl when they play home games there during the regular season. So
fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got. Should we talk basketball a little bit?
Why not?
Have you been to any more of these non-conference blowouts?
Tickle fights? We did not go to the one on Sunday. But yes, we have been to several of them. Kenny, I'll be honest. They're not all that exciting.
I need to make an appeal to the NCAA to do something about the net rankings that are so easily skewed by beating these quad four opponents by 50 points.
Never. It's amazing.
I think it's cool that Iowa State is ranked seventh in the net, but I also know that Iowa State is not the seventh best team in the country. And it's, you know, our analytics are skewed because we beat up on these crappy teams and we score a lot of points.
What's wrong with that?
It's awful for fans. Okay, won't they think of me? Can't they put us on ESPN Plus against I don't know, someone from like the Missouri Valley instead of playing, you know, like eight SWAC opponents before we get into Big 12 play?
Yes, think of Keeney.
I am a paying subscriber to ESPN Plus, so if they want me to get use out of their product, give me something to get a little more excited about. I did watch a decent amount of yesterday's game against Florida A&M because I did bet on Iowa State to cover, which we did, thankfully, near the end. Got a little hairy, but that one dude from Florida A&M that just could not miss. He was like 7 of 9 from three. I'm like wanting to send a message to Brent Bloom, like, hey, any chance you can just like give him like $50,000 to stick around in Ames? We'll figure out the eligibility part later. That dude was awesome. But
that guy was kind of a wagon, wasn't he?
Is Taman Lipsey like a sharpshooter? Can we take anything out of this competition?
Dude, how much better does he look?
He looks confident when he shoots the ball. I think that's the biggest thing. He's like in rhythm and knows what he's doing.
He is wicked impressive to watch, man. I mean, whoever works with him, like, figured something out, man, because that guy is absolutely balling. How else would you describe it?
We got him making shots. We got Curtis Jones making shots. We got Pavelski, like, in the rotation, scoring double digits on the regular when we weren't sure he was going to play at all. So,
give me a song, Curtis Jones. Sorry, that's an old Leonard Skinner song.
I thought you were going like me and Mrs. Jones, that like Ooh. Even further back than that. Me and Curtis Jones,
or Mr. Jones, like that's not Counting Crows. Who sings? Mr. Jones and
I think that's Counting Crows. I think
that is Counting Crows. Okay, wow, look at me. Wow, the music, the Wide Right music cast. Other things to notice, is it time to start the dialogue that Rob Jones is legitimately good, or is it too soon?
I think after the Iowa game, we could admit like he's a legit good rotation Big 12 big man now. I think the other big topic of conversation through all these blowouts has been Omaha Blue. And is he going to play? Is he not? What's he doing when he's out there?
Right.
I want your take. Omaha, what have we... Here's what everything I hear. The guy works hard in practice. The guy is fully engaged. He's still a super athlete. I think he's going to have a big game at some point in Big 12 play because he's still locked in and like prepared. Just because he hasn't done a ton on the court yet, I'm not overly worried about it. And the thing is, hasn't been a huge contributor yet. So the team we have is the team we have, and we have this five-star waiting in the wings that may or may not make us even better.
Correct. And Kenny, I just don't think that he's... I just don't think that he's good enough on defense yet to earn the minutes that, you know, we feel like he should be getting. And if I think if TJ's shown us anything over and over, you know, it's that you've got to be capable defensively to play in his system, right? Like that, that shouldn't surprise anybody. And gosh, I just don't, it's pretty clear that he's not there, right? Like, am I the only one who sees that? I can't be.
I think everybody, we're all afraid to admit it because we all wanted him to come in and be like a super duper star from day one. So we're kind of disappointed that it hasn't happened yet. He just, you can tell he's not quite ready to play yet. He doesn't fully, he's just not fully accustomed to playing college basketball yet. So I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's an indictment on like playing Iowa high school ball last year or just, I'm not really sure what was going on with like Team USA. He was supposedly a big time player for them on the U19 squad or whatever. And it's just not translating yet, but that's okay. Doesn't have to happen yet. You know, it's December and whether or not,
and he's a freshman, right?
Like, yeah. Maybe he'll be a multi-year guy. We were all convinced from the day he signed. All right, we're going to get him for 1 year and then he's going to go to the NBA. Maybe correct. He won't be.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, seems to be more and more likely, Kenny, in my opinion. Is there anything wrong with that? I have a hard time saying that there would be.
We want Omaha to have a successful professional career, but if he doesn't go to the NBA and isn't a lottery pick next year, that's fine. So
I totally agree. Yeah. High expectations, like I get it. He was a McDonald's All-American, but not all of those guys play, you know, right away year one and are, you know, surefire, can't miss, you know, average 15 and 12 a night, especially for bigs. I think a lot of people have talked about it. It's harder for bigs to pick up right away and just be that good.
Yeah. Anything else on the men's team? Real quick, Emily Ryan played yesterday for the women's team. Were you surprised by that?
I was surprised.
That was like, I mean, out of nowhere, a bombshell, like 45 minutes before tip off. Like, hey, she might play today.
To go from hearing like nothing for so long to all of a sudden, oh, hey, she's playing. I was like, huh? So yes, definitely caught me by surprise, but I mean, so happy to have her back, like without question.
Well, we've talked about like what does the women's team need more than anything else is an experienced point guard. And it's hard to get a lot better than Emily Ryan. So maybe, I mean, just kind of projecting ahead for like what they have for the rest of the year. I can't say I know a ton about the quality of the teams they've lost to. Drake's typically pretty good. They'll be a contender in the Missouri Valley. Vandy, Syracuse, who knows? Iowa, obviously, they are what they are. I guess Big 12 play is going to be big for them on if they can make a run at the NCAA tournament. Who knows? But if she's playing, that might tell me that they think they have a chance to be really good right away. Audie Kirks was Big 12 Freshman of the Week, too. Probably point that out.
Yeah, that's probably important to call out, right? Like, she's been phenomenal.
Maybe we're not making enough of really a big deal about this.
Have you seen her? Who hasn't played well of those freshmen? Like, sure, some of them are still kind of figuring things out, but man, there's a ton of talent there.
Can we have a discussion about Audie Crooks' stat line so far this season? I don't think many people realize this.
I'm not even sure I know what it is. Do tell.
She's averaging 16 points a game and 6 rebounds as a freshman playing 21 minutes a game.
Oh, that's kind of obscene.
67% from the field, and she's making threes now.
Yeah, her making threes is wild, but awesome. And if she can continue to learn to finish, and if she doesn't finish, you know, to draw fouls underneath, Kenny, she's going to average a spooky amount of attempts at the line. And I think she's going to shoot well from there. So, I mean, the sky's the limit for her in that regard.
Audie has been in double digits for 9 consecutive games for points.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy town.
Like, we know that she's played well. I don't think we realize it's been this well. So, exciting times ahead, for sure.
No doubt. What else? Big 12 basketball. What happened to Baylor the other day?
That was just Michigan State. I mean, once I saw the line on that one, I saw Michigan State was like a 3.5-point underdog as a 4-5 team playing the number 6 team in the country. I'm like, oh, this thing, Michigan State's going to win this game. So that was just a weird spot, and a team that had been really bad finally having one good game. Not an indictment of Baylor as far as I'm concerned.
Interesting. I didn't watch that, but I was kind of, you know, tuned in to see what was going to happen in that game, and I did not expect that. That's for damn sure. They're still a very good team, though, correct? We're not worried about them?
I think so. I mean, we have their number. We beat them 3 times last year. We've got their number.
Actually, yes. Oklahoma still plays, is continuing to play pretty well. BYU kind of feels fake newsy. They haven't really played anybody all that good, I don't think. But they're still in the top 25, which is impressive. So anyway, just the league is still good, Kenny. Those who are worried about it not being good, yeah, we're wrong. The Big 12 is still good.
The Big 12 is still excellent.
And it'd be nice if it wasn't just for once, but I don't think we're going to get that lucky.
Definitely not with the future of the Big 12. I can promise you that. You know what's not excellent? And this is something I wanted to talk to you about. It is Christmas season, so I want to make sure we touch on this before it's over, before the podcast is over. Matt,
yes?
Question for you. What is the worst Christmas song? I'm dying to know what you think.
Kenny, I think my take's controversial. I really don't like All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I hate that song too. I hate it.
Not because it's that terrible of a song, Kenny. It's just terribly overplayed.
I can't stand that song. I feel like I'm the only one that feels that way about it, though. And so I'm glad to know that I'm not alone.
No, I'm not a fan. Mark me down, not a fan. So you've got the same one?
No. Have you ever heard the song? I hear it maybe like once a season on 104.1, because I do listen to Christmas music in the car sometimes. It's called that. You know this one? It's called Same Old Lang Sin. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it right.
Oh, Same Old Auld Lang Syne. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who like meets his ex-girlfriend in the grocery store, and they like drink beer in their car or something. And it's such a weird song. I hate that song so much.
I love that you picked that song. I like the guy who sings it. I know my parents used to listen to him a lot. I agree. I'm not really big in on that one either. So we're in alignment there. If that makes you feel better.
Okay, here's my controversial take on Christmas music, and I didn't feel like it was controversial, but apparently I'm like way in the minority of this one. I actually like that Paul McCartney song that everybody hates.
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time?
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
That's fine.
Everybody hates it.
People do really hate it.
I don't get it. It's like synthy or whatever, but like, it's Christmas music. What do you expect? I think it's a good song.
That's a great take by you. That song does get a lot of hate, Kenny.
See it, and I say this about everything that I disagree with that is different from the mainstream. Like, oh, if you're going along with this take, it's just because you want to sound cool.
Yeah, see, that's like me with like any type of Tom Brady or any other take.
Yeah, or Steph Curry or Greg Popovich, the ones you're just tragically wrong about. Christmas movies, Matt. I saw you talking about this a little bit online too. What's your best Christmas movie for the people that don't follow you online?
Man, I It's not the best, but I really like the Santa Claus. It's just a great, it's a great film. If you've never seen it, I promise you're missing out. It is, it's just funny. It's a funny, funny show. And you gotta love, why am I blanking on his name? Tim Allen's great. He's a hoot. And there's a lot of like very clever, like adult humor lines in it. It's a show that I think you would love if you've never seen it.
That's a kid's movie with a lot of adult stuff thrown in there for the parents. I do have to agree with you.
Undoubtedly so. There's no question about it. And that makes it fun.
Yeah. I think for my money, I got to go OG Home Alone. And I think Home Alone 2 is actually really good too.
Home Alone 2?
I like both of them.
They're both good. The second one's very fun. The Donald Trump cameo is still wild to this day. Like, what on earth is that doing in there? But hey, that was the late 90s, early 2000s.
Have you ever heard the story of why he's in the movie?
I don't know that I ever have.
So I can tell you right now, he owned the hotel that the movie was shot in. And his condition, his condition for you can film in my hotel is I get a cameo in the movie.
That makes perfect sense.
So yeah, just a little fun fact for you.
Any big Christmas plans for you, Keenster?
I can't say that I do. I mean, other than, you know, kind of watching bowl games on my phone while I should be spending time with the family. I'm just kidding.
I don't actually
do that. You know, being a dad on Christmas is a different perspective. Last year, little man was a month old, so he wasn't really participating in anything, but a little different this time around, we'll say. I'm looking forward to seeing how he tackles trying to rip the paper off of a package.
Oh yeah. He's right at that age. 'Cause how old is he now? He's a year and a half.
Yeah. About 13 months.
He's right at that age where he can really start to enjoy that. And that really does make it fun.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to have a blast.
Yeah. I mean, and I've already been like pre-told that basically I feel like I'm gonna have to buy a second house to store all his gifts that I've been told he's going to be receiving. So
you, what do you mean? You did all the shopping yourself, right?
Not for my family.
No,
I've been told that grandma and grandpa are going to be spoiling him. We'll say that.
That's terrific. And that he's his first grandchild, right?
On my side of the family, he is. Yeah.
That definitely comes with the territory. That's fun though. Enjoy it.
Oh yeah. We'll have a good time. What about you? Any big plans? Any traveling?
Yeah, we're going to go to, we'll be going to Mobile to see my folks on probably my birthday, which is the 21st. Our families live close, so we can kind of split up between the two families, which is really nice. We enjoy that a lot. So it's probably more work, right? And it's, you know, we won't be able to do it forever, but it is really fun to be able to see both families and spend time with everybody over the holidays. So that's what we're going to do. And lots of bowl games, lots of board games, lots of just hanging out, which we're looking forward to. So yeah, it should be great.
Yeah, we've always been fortunate that like we're able to see everybody every year, but this is the first time since I've known my wife that we don't have to travel out of state for anything Christmas related.
Oh, that's a huge win.
Yeah, my in-laws used to live in the Twin Cities and they moved back to the metro this year, which is just it's a blessing to have more grandparents around and also a 15-minute drive to their house on Christmas instead of a 3.5-hour drive with a 1-year-old in the car.
The holiday season, right? Summed up pretty well right there, Keeney.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's all I got. Should we do some parting shots and then we'll wrap it up? I'm pretty sure we won't get together again until, well, we'll see. before the bowl game. I don't know. We'll just see how schedules work out.
Yeah, we'll have to play that one by ear. If it works, would love to catch up and chat about bowl games. But I think we'll probably get together right after the bowl game, and hopefully we're celebrating a Cyclone victory.
I agree. Well, listeners, thank you for indulging with us as we get our Christmas takes off, because that's what it's really all about, right? Listening to us ramble about Christmas media that I'm sure you don't agree with at all. But with that said, hope everyone has a great holiday season. Cheer on an Iowa State victory, and we'll catch you next time.
10-4.